On Monday, August 8th, Tall Can Audio hits 1,000 episodes.
Wait, that's still on? Who could possibly still care?
And the gang is all here to celebrate.
It's euphoric. It's got to be close to nirvana. It's outstanding.
For the first time ever, Maddie, Michaela, Rob, and Matt are all live in studio together.
It's happening, you guys! It's happening! Oh, my God, guys! Oh, my God! I wish you all were here!
Is this likely to go well?
Just check my notes here. No!
At least it will make a lot of noise.
Boom. Here comes the boom.
1,000 pods and 1,000 pints.
I don't think I've ever been as proud in my entire life.
TCA 1000 drops Monday, August 8th, wherever you find low-quality podcasts.
Fuck, it's out of control. Shit.
If you gotta say it, it isn't true.
Don't you guys hate LL Cool J?
Ladies love.
I think he's Canadian.
No.
No.
No, he's not.
No, who am I thinking of?
Drake?
Oh, fuck Drake. Why Clef Jean?
Okay, yeah, clearly they're the same guy. Yeah, why Clef
Jean? You don't remember why Clef?
Was he in the Fugees?
Wasn't everybody? I wish I was in the Fugees.
All right. Of he course,
was a,
I remember
he was
him.
A much music staple. I'm pretty sure Wyclef Jean is Canadian.
No, Wyclef Jean is Canadian. I think he's Haitian.
Yeah.
Right.
But him he's, and Snow bombing around.
Yeah, no.
Informer. That's all I got.
But if you're going to say you're cool, you are not.
Boom, boom, down.
That is an absolute staple.
Ladies do not love
Cool
Uncool
James. I don't know. I think LL Cool J's got it going on. Mama said knock you out.
Mama's always had a bit of an anger problem.
For sure. Well, okay. Mama had three kids. You've heard two of them right on this very show. And Mama wished that she could knock a couple
Mama
of them out.
Mama wished she had done better.
Yeah. Mama wished she'd kept her knees together.
Ooh. Did you happen to see that the Boston Red Sox have fired yet another manager?
Yeah. And I have zero love for John Farrell.
No.
You know, I think he was a douche from the time the Jays hired him.
Interesting you say that.
Right. And the thing is, to me, I heard a clip the other day of somebody, the day he got fired, which is garbage that you'd get fired. You win two divisions back to back.
Yeah.
Right. And you lose. To me, they lost to probably what is going to be the eventual American League champion.
Yep.
In Houston, who was obliterating people, right? For parts of this season, their offense is just ginormous, in the words of.
Yeah. Well, like the interesting thing to me is this is the second World Series winning manager for them that they have fired in 6 years.
Yeah.
Like, John Farrell, love him or hate him, won the World Series for them in 2013. And that came on the heels of them firing Terry Francona, who helped them win, what was it, it had been a few years earlier.
And Francona looks awesome in Cleveland.
Of course, because he's fucking good.
Because he's taken a bunch of scrappy, sort of
B-plus
players. And you know what? Did we not talk about this on this show when they went on that 24 game?
Yeah.
Or you're like, dudes.
Dude.
You are totally peaking at the wrong time.
Right.
And here they are. To me, they were probably the best team. Them and Houston. Cleveland in the AL
because
final.
What we talked about last year when like Cleveland took down the Jays, they looked ripe for the taking because their whole starting rotation was
decimated.
And now they're back. To me, this it couldn't be more clear that he's not getting along with the new GM or the ownership or something. Like, they've brought in Dave Dombrowski to run that team, and Farrell's not his hire. So we see this a lot,
okay,
right?
But and to me, he's not a manager, right? To me, he's a guy who's sitting there. I think you and I could be John Farrell. If you harken back to him as a Jays manager,
yeah.
He's not making shrewd calls. He's making the high percentage calls. You don't ever see him making humps. He sits there like a big fucking fat bullfrog. I'm not loving him. But I don't like him as a manager.
Right.
I don't think it's the right call to fire him for the season they've had.
And it's clearly political, right? It's got nothing to do with his job performance, I don't think.
Right. So like, I want to be clear.
You can't look at anything in that ALDS and go, he botched that, right? Like, there's no...
Because that's what he's going to do. He's going to Cito-Gaston you to a... to a championship or not, right? Cito's a hands-off guy. He's just able to work some personalities, manage a couple of high sort of volatile personalities.
Yep. Well, I wonder if Brad Ausmus isn't next into that, right? Now that Dombrowski's come over from Detroit, Ausmus is one of his guys, right? We'll see, right? But to me, that's exactly what happened, is he's gotten fired because... this was finally, no, we needed to be better, and you're going to take the fall for really having a pretty damn good year. Now, what's interesting to me, there's been some rumblings because Farrell originally was a Cleveland guy, and Gibbons is not a hire by Atkins or Shapiro. You know, is there I think.
Can we have Francona?
That would be awesome.
That's what I'm saying. Yeah. How about Cleveland? You can have
Farrell back.
Or Gibbons, whatever that is.
Whatever you want to do.
And we'll take Francona in Toronto. How about that?
Yeah. And I wonder, there's a great, I'll share a link. It's from The Athletic. There's a great read on, they just cleaned house on a bunch more staff at the Blue Jays.
23 front office staff.
All of them Canadian, which is raising some eyebrows because it looks like some of the people who are going to come in and fill those jobs are not Canadian. And that's a sensitive subject around, you know, when you only have one team. And Shapiro was very mealy-mouthed when he came in saying, oh, we understand this is, you know, Canada's thing and we want to staff it with Canadian. And every move he's made since then
Office staff totally submarined their season.
Exactly. They've taken the fall here for...
Man, I can't wait. I can't wait for them to bring in some ex-Cleveland staff and their job here.
John Lott of The Athletic wrote a fantastic piece talking about this. And like I said, a subscription is required but recommended. So we'll share the link there. But like I just wonder if this management group is that tone deaf. Like, would they... know how toxic a move it would be to bring Farrell back here after the way he left? Like, to me, when you say, well, that was my dream job and I really want to go and do... Okay, you got to go and do it and you got fucking fired. We don't need you back here.
Yeah, I didn't like him here to begin with.
Right.
And now I don't like Gibbons. I don't think he's a good manager either. That's a bad extension. All those things that happened there.
Well, he had to get an extension because you can't have a lame duck. So it was fire him or he had to get...
But you don't bring back... Because to me, they're the same, right? Gibbons also does not make shrewd moves.
You can't... Yeah, but you couldn't... If you had fired Gibbons at the end of this season, it would have scapegoated him for what was...
He gets punched out in the hallway by former pitchers, right? Who go on to...
Ted Lilly and Shea Hillenbrand.
Pitch for the White Sox and whoever else, right? That's what Gibbons does.
I like Gibby. I think he takes way too much shit for... I'm of the belief that a baseball manager can hurt you, but they don't. It's not like, I don't know, Joel Quenneville, right? It's not like Bill Belichick, where great coaching can win you baseball game. I don't feel that way.
So what you're saying is what I was just railing against.
I think most of the guys in baseball are.
That
just don't fuck it up.
You are making the appropriate moves.
You're going to play by the numbers.
There are no game-changing moves. You're saying...
I don't really think
so. We call for a righty now.
Yep. We're going to hit and run here, and we're going to
send the runner here, and we're going to...
Like, for years, people have been screaming at Gibbons about we don't do that sort of stuff. There's no small ball. There's no hit and run. There's no... Look at your fucking roster.
Okay.
Like, you can't.
And I think there are some guys like you look at Francona, and it's very much in vogue, right? I know he's sure. been, I know he's been around, but to me, last year he got to within a couple of outs of a World Series championship.
Yep.
With a decimated lineup.
He was.
And a decimated, that's twice in the same show, but you get it.
Those are fucking heavy bombs.
But they were, honestly, you're missing three of your starting five, right?
I wonder if you have a better memory of this than I do that.
Probably.
Okay. That last year really became a time when managers, in a few different cases, for a few different teams, started using their bullpens differently. You don't wait to use your closer at the end. You bring him in when you need him, whether that's the sixth or the to face the heart of the lineup.
I think you've seen. No,
it wasn't just him, right? Joel Maddon was doing that in Chicago.
I think it started with, and I'm saying started with, it became prominent, most prominent with Kansas City the year before.
Right.
Not necessarily.
With Ned Yost, who
you need
don't
five.
Like either, but
you need five innings from your starter, and I'm bringing in four studs. Nightly,
when they fit more than I don't care that I don't
jamming
need to set
those
up
guys,
guy.
I'm jamming those guys in, right? And what do I need, right? And you've seen that more and more now, right? Where
and Francona did that brilliantly last year,
for
but
sure.
I don't know that that was his maybe innovation is too strong of a word.
No, I don't think it was his innovation. I think
he's doing it well.
I think that Kansas City was the hammer to anvil moment where people went, hey, look at that.
Yeah,
get through five. And bring in four guys.
Right. Well, because we've seen it with Chapman, right? We've seen it with Andrew Miller. We've seen it with, you've referenced Cody Allen. Everybody's got like this big arm, maybe two of them.
Yeah, see, and Allen didn't do it this year.
No.
Right? And then.
But if it comes up in the seventh that I'm facing their two, three, four hitters, I'm going to my best bullpen guy now. I'm not waiting for the ninth to see if we still have the lead. That's an interesting way to.
The other night you saw that with the Cubs and the Nationals, right? You bring the closer in the seventh, and he goes for two innings.
Yeah,
and you sort of hope you can get through the troubled waters,
nice.
Right? That's what you're hoping for, right? Is you can get through a certain section of the lineup, men on base, whatever it is, right? Get to a spot where you're in the back end of the lineup. You bring in that second tier.
Right.
Reliever, right? We're going to use this guy as opposed to going, I'm saving him to nail this down. No, I
got to get through this now.
I'm getting through the heart attack moment in the game.
Yeah.
Wherever that is. So I'm going to spot weld. To me, that's what this has been.
Yeah.
Right? And so it's almost like you've seen now in Major League Baseball where they've moved to sort of, you know, you got your starting pitching is fine. If you can get three decent guys, but it's almost like there's more of an emphasis on three or four stud relievers.
Right. Well, as you referenced Kansas City a little, they're throwing, you know, game one of the World Series like Edison Volquez out there, and you're like, but they don't give a fuck. Just get me through five, and we'll cruise this home, right? Yeah.
We'll small ball it.
Yeah.
And we'll just keep nickel and diming you, and we'll shut you down with relief pitching.
Yeah.
That's it. You better if you are the starting. Or the opposition, you better get what you can get in that first five. You better touch up.
Which is so fucked, right? In the history of baseball, the way you look at it, it's always, you know, Jack Morris or, you know, you have this one lockdown guy that in the 91 World Series, Jack
Morris
went
10 innings.
Yeah. And like it's so different now,
and
right?
that's War Horse kind of stuff, right? You know those
Clemens or Pedro Martinez or whatever, right? In more recent history, where if that guy was going to think we better make hay now, that was not the let's just survive this and hope to get to the bullpen,
right?
And it's just not the way it works anymore.
So you talk about Martinez and you talk about Clemens, yeah. and those two guys, you know, fireballers a bit, right? Clemens. More than Martinez.
Sure.
Martinez could strike him out with the best of them.
Yep.
Morris was just a fucker. Right? Like that was his personality, right? You know, and he would get out of the mound and he would use everything, right?
Yeah.
I got no doubt that guy was scuffing the ball. He was doing whatever and he didn't care. And I bet you if you asked him right now, he'd put Vaseline on the ball, whatever he could do.
Yeah.
And if he had to fight you, he'd probably fight you too, Jack Morris.
No doubt.
Right, that was his scrappy, the art of pitching kind of. I'm using all my pitches. Right, he was.
Where are my pitches at?
Where are my pitches? Where all the weight?
Yeah. So when he, just before we kind of move off of this, you think there's any chance at all this Blue Jay management group is going to look at John Farrell?
I hope not.
Yeah.
And to me, I haven't heard too much of that up until you just brought it up right now.
Well, it's just the ties, right? And we keep seeing them go to the people they...
It was so reviled when he left.
Yeah. Like, right. Still, for the longest time, like, maybe the only manager in the MLB that was walking out to hand in his lineup card and getting booed through, you know. Now, luckily, there was, at the time, only 17,000 people in the dome, but...
Right, and they were all behind the benches.
Right.
No, there's no way.
Yeah.
But to me, Shapiro, he doesn't have a good read on the market.
No, I don't think so either. And we keep seeing moves that indicate he's kind of tone deaf to where he's working right now. And that's why I wonder about, because he wasn't here when all that went down. So we'll see, right, what Shatkins comes up with.
Well, and the pair of them have shown no hesitation to bring in Cleveland ties.
Right. And as we talked about with Dombrowski with Farrell not being his hire, Gibbons wasn't their hire. Now they extended him. You had to extend him.
And
but
you're comfortable with who you have, right?
I still think they're waiting on, that's an easy bullet. If they get off to a terrible start, they can fire Gibbons in June and everyone will go, yep, that was justified. And that's just a barrel you have to keep before a bullet you have to keep before the gun gets turned to you.
Yeah, right? And you know what? As a Jays fan, that's bullshit, right? If they're willing to sacrifice a season just to fire a coach.
Oh, I don't mean that. I just mean, if they fire him now, it looks like they scapegoat him for an unhealthy year where a bunch of guys didn't play well. Whereas if you keep him through the start of next season, if you get off to a bad start, you can fire him and say to the fans, look, we're doing something.
All right. And to me, I'm looking at Shapiro and Atkins and saying, what are you doing?
Yeah. Let's see what roster you give him next year.
Okay, you're taking Bautista off the books.
Yep.
Right away, there's $20 million.
Yep.
Where are you going to spend that? Right? Because that's what we need to
do. Too low.
Well, okay, yeah, no. You've already got Martin and Tulo on the books, right? And Donaldson coming up on the horizon. But if you're looking at, if you like a couple of the young guys, say the Sete kid, right? If you like that, Teoscar Hernandez,
yeah.
If you like that, and if he's going to take up one of those outfield spots, right, can you take another, spend money on another outfielder and something better, you know, in terms of the infield?
Yeah. Well, I want to, as the offseason approaches, I want to get into Josh Donaldson. There's a bunch of things that are going to happen there that will
maybe
save for another day. This weekend marked the 2-year anniversary of the bat flip. Some people pissed off that the MLB Twitter account for the whole league tweeted that out. And there's it was classless and it's favorite, you know, it's offensive to the Rangers and it's, I can't believe this is still a thing. 2 years later, we're talking about I went back and I watched that entire seventh inning over again this weekend. I don't know if I've ever seen a more unbelievable series of events in any sporting event, right? From Russell Martin trying to throw the ball back and having it bounce off the guy's bat that lets the run come in to score. Three errors to start the bottom of the inning that allow the Blue Jays to get back in it.
Who's the third baseman for the Rangers?
Adrian Beltre. You're maybe thinking of Elvis Andrus.
Elvis Andrus is who I'm thinking. He's the second baseman.
Oh, he messed it up. Rudan and Odor was the second baseman.
Yeah.
He boffed one, too.
I think if anybody is in that situation, and we've talked about Jose in detail here on this show, right? And you and I are different as athletes, right, in terms of who's a little more volatile and who's a little more hard on your sleeve kind of. I get it, right?
Yeah.
That is a huge moment, right, in terms of.
And you just keep watching it, right? And he hammers it and I'm watching it go and then, bing, right, toss the bat and take off.
Well, because you're like, there's a great big, and as we've outlined, all that has gone into the making of 2017 or 2015, Jose Bautista.
Yeah.
Right? You go, all that's led up to that, right? And you go,
and this is huge. What I just did will be remembered.
And it's at home.
Crowd loud.
And it is, it's, it, and for anybody who's listened to this show, right? I've been to, well, we've both been to a pile of Jays games.
Yeah.
But when they were good, late 80s, early 90s, I was at the Dome. I'd probably see 15 to 20 games a year.
Right.
Right, in that sort of time period. And it was packed every night. When they, as soon as they moved to the Dome in 89,
yeah,
you're putting in $4 million a year. You're leading MLB in attendance. But to me, it always sounded like it was 50,000, you know, intermediate schoolgirls.
Right.
It was just squeal. And you're like, I don't know why that is, right? It's whereas in 2015, circa bat flip time, it was a huge difference, a very significant difference in the sound that you heard in the yeah. Dome, right? It was guttural. There was like foot stomping.
When he hits that home run, and we'll share the clip in the usual places, and I'll probably copy and paste it in right here. The first sound you hear after he hits it isn't the usual, right, crowd. There's this deep where it almost sounds like 50,000 men going, oh, right? Like, I can't believe that is. Because before the usual crowd noise, there's this very deep guttural, you know, oh my God, he hammered that. And after everything else that had happened in that inning, it was just – because people forget the Jays already tied it up. Like the Donaldson blooper over Odor's head brings –
Fuck you, Odor.
I can't remember. Pilar maybe was the guy that it brought in. So the game's tied. But it's the Batista one that puts them up by three and allows them to kind of cruise through the rest of the way here. But everything that happened – like people forget
the,
it's the Encarnacion.
That was the denouement, right? It was the down – it was like – hey, it was like great sex, to be honest with you. That was, and that was the last two innings were kind of like that. Yeah.
Let's just get through that. Yeah. The cigarette moment.
This,
right?
This
yeah.
is exactly right.
So Encarnacion comes up next, and he's trying to cover the crowd, right? Like the crowd is still throwing shit and going, and he's got his arms trying to calm everybody down to stop throwing shit. And that's when Dyson comes in thinking he's trying to whoop the crowd up a little more. So he comes in, bench is empty. And then they get through the rest of the inning. Tulo is the last guy that Dyson gets out. And he comes in almost in like a...
Yeah, they have words.
Well, but he comes in and kind of just gives him a tap. Like, okay, it's over, right? Like, the inning's over. And Tulo turns around and he's the one that kind of asks...
He's like, don't touch me. Don't put your hands on me.
Yeah, don't fucking touch me. We're at war here. Fuck you. Yeah. And the bench is clear again. So, like, the whole thing was unbelievable,
man. It was intriguing drama.
For sure it was. For sure. And at the time, you know, we're saying now those next two innings just kind of finish it out. At the time, you're watching it live going, there's no indication that they're not coming back, right? It's been a crazy game. Who knows what's going to happen next,
so
right?
I'm at home, and I'm alone. For the most part, I'm upstairs. I'm watching it on the TV. And could you be more domestic? I'm folding laundry on the bed, right? And I've got the basket, and I'm folding laundry. I'm watching. And I'm yelling at the TV screen. Right?
Yeah.
All by myself. And you know what? That whole tree, if the tree falls in the forest thing.
Right.
Yeah, that's me. I don't need anybody around. I'm talking to the TV like it and I are alone together.
Yeah.
And I'm angry.
So as we circle back around to 2017, you got to figure MLB pretty pumped with the AL and NLCS, which are ongoing. But they're four largest markets in America between New York, Chicago, L.A., and Houston. Do you think this is going to be like, where's your interest level at? In terms of sheer numbers, they should draw pretty good here. You know, the Cubs are less, I would have to assume, of a story than they were a year ago when they hadn't won yet. But the Dodgers have kind of been perennial choke artists with what they've put together and spent over the years. Yankees are always... a story. I kind of expected Houston would blast through them. We'll see. And Houston, you know, kind of a quiet big market because they've been bad for so long. But the outing Dallas Keuchel put together in game one was something else.
Well, first of all, I can't believe, as I said to you off air, that Houston is the fourth largest market. I didn't even think it was the largest market in Texas. Yet, here it is.
Yep. Right? There we are.
Fort Worth, where you at?
But when you look back to a year or two ago, right, you're looking at Kansas City and Toronto and like
nobody.
Toronto's actually,
Cleveland
and Cleveland, right? They're going, fuck, right? Like, how are we going to pull any ratings and advertising money out of this?
Right. No, this is MLB's wet dream
for sure.
When you look at that and you go, we're covering all the bases here.
Do you got a rooting interest in this Final Four?
I'm hoping like hell for a Houston Chicago,
yeah,
World Series.
Yeah,
I hate the Yankees.
I do too. I do think ratings wise or historically speaking, Yankees Cubs is an interesting.
Yeah, you know what? I don't care for Joe Girardi. Yeah. I don't care for the Yankees brand. I think the Yankees brand is much akin to the Patriots brand in the NFL. Dallas, yeah. Cowboys also. You got a bunch of front runners.
People well, that's hard to that. Say about the Cowboys these days. But
No, okay. Well, and really, the Cowboys are the Toronto Maple Leafs of the NFL.
Yeah, true.
Right? You got shit heels who know nothing better.
You're losing me.
Well, you know what? Hold on, Leaf fans. Right? This is coming.
Yeah.
People who just sort of follow the brand, they don't follow the team, sort of, they love what it, you know, I want to wear something like back in the day.
I want
to belong. Right, you want to wear, you know, Fighting Irish or Michigan State stuff, right? You're like, or Hoyas.
The Hoyas, the Georgetown Hoyas, yeah, were like, everywhere.
And you're like, who do you know? Can you name me one Georgetown, yeah, Hoya?
Right.
Patrick Ewing. That's it, right? And then I'm out.
No, but that's an interesting point. There was always a couple of kids at my elementary school with a Hoyas winter, yeah, coat or something.
Yeah, like, of course.
I didn't even know what the fuck the Hoyas were.
And it was a Michigan State thing and the Irish, right?
Yeah, yeah.
Now I get it, right? It's very iconic, Notre Dame.
Sure.
Lou Holtz, all that stuff before he became a Gamecock. What? Go Cox. But you know, it's one of those things.
Show title.
Yeah, exactly. That's all I do, baby. Provide show titles. Yeah. So it doesn't really matter.
I'm not sure if iTunes is going to let that through.
Come on, man. Buck up.
It's not buck me up. Holding it back.
No, I know. Yeah. There's got to be a pile of shit in here that's.
So you're looking at Houston, Chicago. I think because I've seen the Cubs win it now.
You've cut short on my Yankee hating.
Oh, sorry.
Or big brand hate. No, it's okay.
Why don't you go back to... I know you're kind of a little brother, Senators and whatever else is going on there, but...
Yep, that's it. You know what?
I'd like to see the Dodgers get through.
Okay, as a lacrosse guy growing up, we used to go down. There used to be a big field tournament every year in Syracuse. Right, and so we'd bring our ragtag batch of hillbillies down from Central Ontario, right? And we kick
ass. Bad news bears.
And we kick ass, right? We'd roll off the bus not with matching jerseys and shorts, whereas all these upper New York State teams would have
looking good, but
yeah, have their own lacrosse fields and their matching helmets and their jerseys and shit.
And then the game starts.
Yeah, this is it, right? I'm gonna bite you, and whatever else is gonna happen, right? Where was I going with this?
I have no idea. I think you just wanted to.
No. There was
something about the Yankees and little brother complex, and
yeah, all right.
It's gone,
and it's gone.
The Dodgers, after all the time they've kind of got, I think that's an interesting story. I wouldn't mind seeing them get through to play Houston
and see them. The Dodgers, contrary to what the Indians had going on, right? They were obliterating the opposition,
yes,
in the first half of the season.
Yes.
Right? I think they had 80 wins, I think, or something by the All-Star break.
Wow.
Okay.
In 89 games.
Okay. It's exact. But they were on
No,
this.
They were killing it.
Then they went on a 12-game losing streak, yeah, or they were
and
terrible.
Still Arizona couldn't fucking.
This is it. And that's all I'm saying, right, yeah, is it sort of came down to you peak at the right time, whereas to me the Indians were, it was too late in the season when they went on that super hot streak, right? You knew that that was going to end in a little bit of a cool spot and then build it back up again, right? But it was too close.
I think that Yankees team was lucky to get by Cleveland. When you see, I was reading a great, because Judge, this new superstar.
Okay, stop.
He had 15 Ks.
Stop.
All right.
Where I was going with that was.
Oh, we're
going
to go back to Syracuse. Yeah,
it's exactly right. Exactly right. Was I used to go down there, and to me it was, now Syracuse isn't a big town, but it's a big university town, right? And so obviously Orangemen, huge there, right? But Trump. their big rival is the Hoyas, right? And so especially at that time, right, late 80s, early 90s, I didn't follow any NCAA basketball at all.
Yeah.
But I bought a shirt which was
what? Yes. I don't even care about the Hoyas, but fuck yeah.
Yeah, this is exactly right. It was on the front, it was navy blue with orange writing on the front, and it said Orangeman number one. And then on the back it said, fuck you, Hoyas, right? In orange writing on the back.
All right. I thought you were gonna wear a pro Hoyas shirt into
and again, I have no allegiances, but I was willing to say, and the other thing was, and it's big down there, and it was the first time I really remember seeing it, and you talk about, and it was what you know sparked this was you saying, oh, your little brother mentality. Yes. It was, and it's really sparked my NFL interests especially, but it's my favorite team is Syracuse. Or anybody else who's playing Georgetown, right? That's the big thing, right? Is
yes,
yeah. I want to see you lose almost more than I want to see my team lose win,
right?
Right, and so that's the beauty of sport is sometimes
spite.
Well, more often than not, right? It's the desire to see somebody else lose than to see somebody win. If you don't have a dog in the fight.
It was a need last year. It was a panic for me in Game 7 overtime, Eastern Conference Final, Senators.
Yes.
Getting awfully fucking close to a cup final going, hosting this show is going to be intolerable for me.
Oh, dear.
And I couldn't possibly care less about the Penguins, but I was in love with Chris Kunitz that night. Right?
Yeah.
Oh, thank you.
Fuck you, Chris Kunitz.
If I've said it once.
I've said it 100 times. Fuck you, Chris Kunitz.
Aaron Judge, I want to get this in just because to me it was fascinating, struck out 15 times in the ALDS and the Yankees managed to get through. In 1995, Tony Gwynn struck out 15 times in the season. So it's a hell of a fucking comparison.
Do you put any stock in this whole trajectory thing you're hearing in Major League Baseball, right, where – guys are actively, like Rob Deere in 1992, striking out 200 times and hitting 40 home runs. And people are like, what a garbage player, right? Whereas now,
it's back.
It's very much in vogue, right?
Yeah.
Hey, I'm taking the 40 home runs and the 200 strikeouts.
Well, because
Rob Deere is just 25 years too early.
Well, uniquely qualified here as Jays fans, right, to go, I don't know what's going to happen. If I get a guy on base, I'm probably not going to get him. So if I can just bomb this out now, let me just take that run and be done with it. So, yeah, you'll take the 40 runs and 200 Ks.
But that is – strikeouts are up.
Yeah.
But they're saying that's not anything to do with pitching. That has to do with the trajectory or the arc on the swing, right?
Yeah. No, they are. Everybody's getting just a little lower and kind of golfing them out, right? Like it's interesting to watch. So you're on record here in terms of a rooting interest, and this is tough to do. It'll get posted tonight, but the series have already started. Is your rooting interest the same as your prediction for the World Series?
You know what? I have zero knowledge as of this moment. Right? I've been busy this past couple of days. I have no idea what's happening in the NL.
All right.
I really hate the Yankees. But I think the way I'm picking Houston, regardless out of the ALCS, just due to the way they hit the ball, right? And I think they have enough pitching, especially on the front end, right, to get through this series.
And to me, the Dodgers are just based on the larger sample size that is the season, I think they're getting by the Cubs. So
right. I think the Cubs are coasting on fumes, right? They were early season having a rough stretch, right? And you go, is that hangover? What is that?
Right.
Then they come on like defending champs, right? Who have brought back a young, essentially the same team.
Yeah. Well, that's it. They're going to be good for a while.
That's it. And I remember being on the show.
Yeah.
Back in you know last fall, saying, "Man, that team's going to be competitive for years."
Yep.
I'm just not sure they're hungry enough right now, right, to sort of to win that.
Hard to replicate that.
So
right?
I kind of see an Astros Dodgers.
Yeah.
But I'm really cheering for an Astros Cubs as a rooting interest.
And I imagine MLB is rooting for a probably Yankees Cubs.
Yeah. Well, fuck MLB.
This one's empty. For more, visit tallcanaudio.com or find us on Twitter and Facebook at tallcanaudio.